Hey, you're back with Steve and Damon on the Get Out of Debt Guy podcast. And Damon and I are actually together for once instead of doing this over the internet. We're sitting in a hotel room. And so that's why I might sound a little bit different. But Damon, hello.
Hey, Steve.
Oh, great. Thanks.
What? What? I said, hey,
Steve. Way to elaborate.
You said hello. I answered your question. We're sitting here huddled over a iPhone in a hotel room.
Yeah. So trying to do a Get Out of Debt Guy update. I think since the last time we did a podcast, which was, I'm sorry to say, maybe 10 months ago.
It's been a while, man. Yeah. We've been busy.
Life has been very, very busy. And the interesting thing about the debt world is stuff really hasn't changed all that much. I think the biggest change has been...
Does it ever, though?
No.
Yeah.
It hasn't in my 30 or 40 years. The biggest change has been just the continued stupidity and confusion that comes along with student loans resume.
Yeah, that's a big one.
You know, we've heard about this great new program, the SAVE program. And now there are people in Congress that are trying to block it because they don't want to give away anything and let people get something for free that they shouldn't. So the only thing that has changed is...
You know, you're doing air quotes, but this is a podcast.
I am.
This is, we're not doing a YouTube video. A lot of what he said had air quotes to it, just to add context.
That's true. Thank you.
Yeah.
The names of the programs and the efforts to enact or prevent something from happening just seem to be the normal course of business over the last 10 years, maybe. I mean, it's been a long time between trying to block a program, start a program, give people relief, give people pause. It's a mess.
Yeah, the SAVE program is actually really good from a consumer standpoint if you're, you know, looking to save money, and it basically keeps interest from, you know, accumulating while you're making reduced or no payments. And it definitely lowers your required monthly payment, you know, compared to an IBR or definitely an ICR. So it's a good program. The only problem is they're having people apply for it now, but it's still technically in limbo. So, you know, nothing like adding confusion to say, hey, go ahead and apply for this program that is currently being challenged.
Yeah.
And then once everybody gets on it, if the challenge is successful,
yeah,
then all of a sudden, I guess now everybody's off it. Maybe they should have figured shit out before they had everybody start paying again. That would have made too much sense.
Yeah, like,
let's figure it out first. We had 3 years to figure it out.
Yeah. And on top of that, payments are going to resume almost any day now.
Yeah. They're starting now. People are starting really October. Mm-hmm. Payments are starting to get due. I'm getting, you know, a lot of my clients I haven't heard from in years.
They're coming out of the woodwork.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, I got to start paying. And it's just like, I'm just getting hammered, which understandably so. But it's just like, you know, everybody, I mean, who'd have thought this would go bad? You know, not certainly not me. I mean, the idea of millions of people that have not made payments in 3+ years, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, all these payments start again at the same time.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that might cause a problem? I mean, have you checked out hold times for these servicers lately?
Oh, yeah, they're out through the ceiling there. But, I mean, here's the funny thing, that none of this has to do with the political party that's in office. Because if we go back under the Trump administration, the whole public service loan forgiveness, borrower defense program was basically stopped and nobody got forgiveness. Student loan payments were first suspended under the Trump administration.
Yeah.
And then Biden gets in office, and then the promise is going to be there's going to be student loan forgiveness. They did fix borrower defense and public service loan forgiveness, but just tried to resume these payments. People have had their student payments on pause for 3 years.
Yeah. I'm sure they're setting aside the money. Right? Just anticipating when this is actually going to happen.
Well, I mean, what actually happened is that people's lives expanded to fill the void left
by
student loan payments. And I don't know how people are going to make ends meet.
But you mean the average person out there wouldn't be fine with getting a bill that says, oh, by the way, it's $1,500 a month starting next month?
Starting next month. But here's the thing that just drives me crazy is I don't care what political party it is. If you make a promise to the American people this is what the program is, and the program is going to take 10, 15, 20 years. At least honor the contract instead of changing everything every 4 years or 2 years or 3 years.
Are you new to America?
No, I'm not. It drives me crazy.
Have you lived here before?
When it comes to debt things, in my lifetime, it has not been this bad before, especially with student loans. It's not been this bad because you and I are a different age, but we both grew up at times where you could afford to go to college and pay for it instead of mortgaging your future.
Yeah.
And so now we've created a system where people have to mortgage their future to get a college degree.
And gamble it.
And
because there's not a guarantee.
No.
A degree is no guarantee.
No, no. And, you know, the vast majority of people who start college never finish. So they have debt but no degree. But along the way, we've made people believe you have to get a degree to get a better job. And then we're going to change all the terms for you to repay it. Your life is going to be in turmoil. Congratulations.
And not only your life, but your parents' life and your grandparents' life.
Your kids' lives.
Whoever got talked into co-signing for you because, you know, they want, you know, what parent doesn't want to co-sign? Oh, the kid can't go to college, but if you just sign this piece of paper, your kid can go to college.
Or grandma signs it.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's almost like, I don't want to use the word tricked into signing it, but what parent's going to want to say, are we recording still?
Yeah. Is that what your parent wants to say? Are we recording?
Yeah. Are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh, good. So, but yeah, what are you going to say? No, I'm not going to sign for that. Because you obviously, most people are optimistic. Well, you're going to go to college. You're the first one in our family in three generations or whatever. You know, go to college and you're going to get a great job and no problem. You'll be able to pay this back. So, you know, I as the parent, maybe I can't afford to pay it, but I'm not having to pay it right now. I'm just signing it.
Yeah.
And nobody's paying it. And then when my son or daughter graduates, they'll get a good job.
They're going to pick up the
payments. They'll be able to pay it.
Absolutely.
And none of this will ever break up any families.
So it remains the mess of American higher education. I don't know what the solution. I do know that there is not going to be a solution. Because unless some sort of government entity takes over or allows people to go to school for free or low cost, the schools are incentivized to charge as much as possible. And they will just continue to do so.
Well, if you start looking at it, the cost of education started to skyrocket once government got involved.
Yeah.
And it wanted to make it easier for kids. It may have started as a great idea in a sense of, you know, we want to do good and we want more kids to go to college because that's a good thing. But, you know, every action has reactions. And that reaction, as you said, was colleges went, oh, the government's just throwing money at kids?
Yeah, we'll take it.
Cool. We have more buildings to build. We need to increase staff pay, and we need to make up more degrees and expand campus. And, oh, it's $150,000, but don't worry. You just got to get loans for it. You'll be fine.
Well, the Higher Education Act began because the government wanted more people to get higher education so as a country we could become more competitive in the world.
I agree that might have been a noble goal, but they forgot to think it through.
Yeah, they never said no for-profit schools.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's like, oh, there's extra money to be had here. Let's go make it.
Yeah. In fact, you knew somebody that was running a for-profit school and they were just bringing in money hand over fist, weren't they?
Possibly.
Yeah, possibly. Allegedly.
Allegedly. That's the rumor.
The other thing I want to talk about is something that we've been dealing with over the last hour. Somebody was texting you upset about a letter that they got from. Was it you and me, or was it you then me?
We get this all the time. So on our website, it's just a little a Facebook plugin. Mm-hmm. It's something we threw up there a couple of years ago, and you know,
chat with us.
Yeah, it's just a chat plugin. And I think on my website, it's like, hi, I'm Damon, Steve's friend, because you know a lot of people find my website through Steve's website. But we get questions through the chat, and some of them are good questions, and then a lot of them are just like, what?
Yeah.
So this one we just got, it was some gentleman, I think he said he reported us to the Postmaster General. For the mailer that we sent him, and we will not stop sending him, and he wants to be off our list.
You and I have never sent a mailer.
Never.
But
we don't have a mailer.
No. But the point is that you have to be responsible for yourself. I don't care if you're coming to getoutofdebt.org or you're going to Damon's site, damonday.com. And you're reading information ultimately, you have to be an educated consumer and protect yourself and know, who am I dealing with? Who am I giving information to? This particular gentleman, I like to say, yelling at us about this is like yelling at Ronald McDonald for a bad Happy Meal.
Well, no, it's worse than that, because we had nothing to do with the, at least Ronald McDonald's employed by the damn corporation that he's mad at. I mean, we on the daily, I get people that like go to the getoutofdebt.org site or my site, and for whatever, they got there with some company they don't like, and maybe Steve has an article about it. Yeah, and they're just like, you took $300 from me yesterday. Stop it. And yeah. I'm like, what?
What?
Who are you? What are you talking about? And it's, you know, they have no clue that we don't have anything to do with XYZ debt relief company, but maybe Steve wrote an article about that company right. 5 years ago.
And
about-
what alarms me is that they think that some person totally unrelated, you know, that it, they don't understand exactly who they contracted with or who they're dealing with.
Yeah, and they just see this chat box and they think we're like customer support for, you know, whatever XYZ company. I don't need to name names, but it doesn't matter. But it's like, how did you even get our name? Well, I did a Google search and it led me to you. And I was like, well, did you read the article that, you know, you pulled up when you did the Google search? Because, yeah. And we even had people that were like, they thought we were customer service. And they're like, why are you like saying this company is probably not a good idea? That's the worst sales pitch I ever heard. Because I don't work for that company. And it's just like, we get that all the time where it's like, how are they going to your website and reading the stuff that you say and then
thinking that
responding in this random chat box on your website is going to reach whoever sent some sales letter to them.
Yeah.
That, and he sent me a copy of it. I asked the guy that we were to, yeah. I'm like, send me a copy of the letter. There's no information at all on that letter that yeah. has my name, your name. It's a typical scuzzy.
I think it's one of those debt negotiation relief. Department.
Yeah, they make it look like, oh, if you don't respond now, we've got deals with Discover and Bank of America. Yeah.
No, they
and,
don't.
And you have to respond today or you're going to miss out. You know, that
right.
kind of bullshit.
Right.
But it has nothing to do with us. Yeah. He's like, I did a Google search and this website came up. So right. clearly you're sending me these mail. And his whole beef was, he wanted them to stop, and we needed to stop sending them to him.
Right.
And I told him how many times that we didn't send
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we don't send mail.
He goes, but they keep coming.
I'm sorry.
According to him, he reported us to the Postmaster General.
Oh, good.
Because we keep sending him letters.
I hope he sends that letter to him.
And if we don't stop, he's going to get a lawyer, and he's going to come after us for these letters.
For not sending him a letter.
For these letters that we don't send. So at that point, I stopped responding. I was like, okay, that's fine.
But over the years, there have been many times where people have been outraged and upset, not really knowing who they contracted with or who they've been giving their money to. You have an ultimate responsibility to watch out for yourself, because in these modern times, nobody else is going to watch out for you but you.
Yeah. And a lot of people think, well, the government will protect me or they'll shut down this company if it's a scam. No, by the time the government figures it out or enough people complain and you know, the FTC gets involved or whoever gets involved and maybe ultimately goes after them and shuts them down. We talk about that all the time,
yeah.
right? You say, you read an article and, oh, that big scam company, guy made millions and millions of dollars, ripped people off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to him?
Oh, he shut down, paid a little fine and went away.
And then
until he came back.
Yeah, maybe started another company somewhere else, different name.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all that happens.
Well, in the debt relief world, crime pays like a son of a bitch.
It does. It's crazy.
Yeah. You can make more money ripping people off than you can being a legitimate person.
Yeah. I mean, when's the last time you heard some big company and they stole millions of dollars from people with these false promises?
Yeah.
And they got brought up on charges. And number one, he had all this money just sitting in a bank account and, and the government confiscated it and returned it back to the people that got ripped off.
No, they had to waive part of the penalty because you didn't have enough money.
They had to waive like all the penalty and they never even go to jail or anything.
No.
And so the guy for 10 years, let's say, it just doesn't matter the name of the company or anything. It's just the same thing. For 10 years, he lived high on the hog, made millions of dollars and everything was great until he got eventually shut down. None of the consumers that gave him the money ever made whole, ever. They're out. They're screwed. The guy gets fined, shuts down the company, like you said. pays what he can, maybe has to sell off some of his assets.
In the meantime, he's been funneling money overseas.
Yeah. So. And he lived like a king for 10 damn years.
Yeah.
And you know he's got other money somewhere. And then he just lays low for a little bit and pops up, does something else.
Yeah.
That's it.
Get some front guy to do it for him.
I know.
Well, it's, and these things are just continuous. The same promise over and over again. Your debt is going to magically disappear. You're going to pay pennies on the dollar. It's not going to hurt your credit. Your credit's going to be restored. It's the same sales pitch. It works over and over again. I think that the telltale sign is of what to watch out for is an article that I read a few months ago about call centers, how a large number of people who are working in these call centers actually have criminal records.
Well, here's the way I look at it. When's the last time, and Steve, you, anybody listening to this, when's the last time somebody called you out of the blue from a call center, wherever, telephone sales,
mm-hmm.
and you thought, that sounds like a good idea, or maybe you did, and you bought it, and it worked out? Has that ever happened, ever, in the history of life?
Oh, I got scammed early in my marriage with an encyclopedia deal.
No. I'm talking about, like
when, now?
When, no. When is there ever a situation where somebody calls you randomly, and you go, oh, this is going to be the bee's knees here. Whatever this guy is selling me.
Oh, this is the short.
I got to have this.
Right.
Never.
Right.
Never. It's never, like one example. Give me one example of, I was sitting at home watching TV one day and my phone rang.
Yeah.
And then the rest of my life just completely changed.
Everything was better and you became an instant millionaire. Oh, for example, remember that woman that you had as a client, older woman? And they sold her some open an Amazon store or internet company or
I've actually had a lot. I've had several like that.
But
pay us. Do it yourself. I mean we do it all for you.
Yeah, and you'll make a gazillion dollars. So why don't they do it?
It's just I mean, I'm 45 now and my perspective on life is definitely different than when I was 20 and wide eyed and look at all this, everything's great and all. And now that I'm 45 and I look back and you're like, most of this stuff, it's all bullshit.
Well, here's the other lesson in the other part of our lives, the side hustle part of our lives. We talk about how people have found a successful side hustle, but that's never what they talk about.
Oh,
right. Yeah. They never share exactly what's making them the money.
Yeah. But they want to sell YouTube videos or not sell YouTube, but
sell a course, sell something.
And it's like, well, wait a minute. Why are you sharing all your secrets? If it really works, why don't you just go make the money?
Well, it's like what you and I have learned about, the side hustle part of our lives. We don't tell anybody.
I know. And we find the good stuff. It's like, well, we're hoarding it on purpose, but then it's like, it doesn't make logical business sense. If we find something that's working really well, and sharing that information would essentially create competitors to us. It doesn't make logical sense that we'd then get on a YouTube video and be like, here's exactly what we're doing, step by step. For $5.99, I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to do to beat me at the game I just figured out.
I'm going to ruin my business.
Yeah, for $599.
Selling you a course.
Call today, right? So obviously, if they're out there selling the course, they're probably making more money selling the course than they are actually doing this awesome thing. Now, maybe there's some exceptions to that, but other than Tony Robbins, who sells kind of like it's an intangible thing, it's not like
confidence and self-help.
But other than Tony Robbins, what, late night infomercial guy or guru has been around for any length of time where they come pop up? And then they go away, sometimes to jail, sometimes fade off into the, Tony Robbins, who's...
Well, this is the first time in years I've actually watched broadcast TV. I was mentioning that to you, and the late night stuff is no more like business opportunity stuff, at least here in where we are. It's either religious programming, buy something, or... addiction treatment program.
Well, we're in Texas this weekend, so maybe it's
maybe it's Texas oriented.
Maybe it's Texas, but I mean, it's just like all that stuff. It comes and it goes, and where's the guy does the tax lien sales and the money down?
Haven't seen him in a while.
And that stuff's still there.
Yeah,
it's just different younger guys.
Yeah,
like they picked up the mantle. And they've moved over to Facebook and shit.
I like how they stopped doing it for a few years and then it comes back like this is brand new.
Yeah. Like I just figured out the secret. I'm like, because I save everything, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like I've got Carlton Sheets, No Money Down tapes from the 80s that my mom gave me when I was a kid.
It, Robert Allen?
Yeah. Robert Allen did some stuff too. Yeah. But it's like, yeah, these young guys will find some of this stuff and they'll just like rehash it and digitize it, take it off the tapes, you know? I mean, like, we got this new program. I'm going to teach you how to be an instant millionaire. No money down, no credit, no money, no problem.
All the things that I went to when I was younger, you know, I went to meetings, people telling me.
Dude, I was there more than at church.
Yeah.
I mean, that was my church. Like, show me how to do the tiny ads in my tiny apartment and just do these classified ads and get people to send money to my mailbox.
And the sad thing about it is, almost none of it was true.
Almost? None of it was true. I mean, there's nuggets of truth in there.
Well, the Amway dishwashing soap is actually pretty decent. But I mean, as far as...
They had good toilet paper. Amway, yeah.
Better than stuff here.
Yeah. But I digress.
Yeah. But none of the business opportunities... I don't know anyone who ever really made out in a business opportunity who wasn't promoting the business opportunity.
Yeah. How did we get all the way to that from the debt stuff? Bottom line is, if somebody calls you on the phone
or sends you a letter,
just hang the F up.
Yeah.
It's not going to work out well. Never does.
If you get a letter that promises you some miracle way for your credit card debt to disappear or eliminate your debt, throw it away.
And if it looks like it's from the government, for heaven's sakes,
it's not.
It's not from the damn government.
Yeah.
Biden doesn't have a program. Obama didn't have a program.
Trump didn't have a program.
Anything that says the Biden program, throw it the hell away.
Now, remember, there was all these ads about the Obama student loan program. And then when he was out of office, they all changed to the Trump student loan program.
Yeah, and then the Biden student loan program.
And none of it existed. It was all lies. All lies.
Yeah, there was no student loan program.
Yeah.
So anyway, just I think the point is what? Don't believe anything.
Be an educated consumer.
Be an educated consumer. Do not get on our website chat and say, stop sending me these debt relief letters. Do not get on our website chat and say, stop, you know, charging me $300 every single month for whatever the heck, you know, credit repair or something that you signed up for.
Speaking of credit repair, another big change since we last did a podcast was a ruling confirming that you cannot pay for credit repair until the service has been delivered, and then the company has to wait 6 months before they can bill you for it. So if anybody is charging you in advance for credit repair,
that's all credit repair. But they said that years ago.
Yeah,
but people just kept doing it. But I mean, I look at both sides because credit repair is. It's no magic to it.
No.
It's just all you're basically doing, and some do it a little bit better than others, but you're just disputing things.
Yeah.
You're supposed to dispute things that are wrong, but.
And you can do that yourself.
Yeah. You're just disputing different things. And, you know, so are there companies out there that will send those dispute letters for you? Yes. Are there companies out there that maybe go a little bit more above that? Yeah, I know a couple of them. But at the end of the day, you're just trying to get things taken off your credit report that, for the most part, are probably true.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just be honest about it.
And may just come right back.
Yeah. Most of the stuff that people want to get off their credit report so they can have a better credit score are actually freaking true.
Right.
They just don't want them on there.
Yeah. 95% of the complaints that I've heard have been true stuff they don't want on there.
Yeah.
There's a small percentage in my entire life of people who have had actual identity theft, you know, that wasn't there.
It happens. Yeah.
But there's actually a website, identitytheft.gov. You can go and step by step tells you what to do.
Step by step.
Very good.
Ooh, baby.
But as far as regular credit repair goes, it's so basic, right? Just take care of your old stuff, start paying stuff on time.
Yeah. So, and sometimes you just got to be like, yeah, I effed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way to fix it immediately.
Yeah.
But do better moving forward. And in a year or two, things will be fine.
Right.
Sometimes there's not, I have to get a mortgage next month. Well, You're not going to get a mortgage next month. So, but I have to. Okay. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the reason for the credit report is so a lender can make an educated decision about whether or not they want to loan you. An automated educated decision.
Yeah.
And if it was easy to just wipe out all the negative stuff so the lender wouldn't know about it,
yeah,
why have the credit report in the first place?
All right, Damon, is there anything else we, after our big break, we should cover right now? Or we're going to try to do better.
Yeah, we are going to try to do better, much like our advice for credit reports. We're going to try to do better moving forward.
Yeah.
And we try to do these a little bit more regular because I was like, we just got done with Olive Garden after yeah. after the meeting that we were at. We came back and like, let's do a podcast. I was half asleep on Steve's couch. And he's like, what'd you say? Pull your nose hair, wake up, let's do a podcast.
Yeah.
That's how prepared we were for this. But it's like, we got to get something out there. So,
well, here's the difficult thing is it's difficult for us to keep rehashing the same thing over and over
again. Yeah, nothing really changes that much in the debt space.
Uh-uh.
You know, I mean, we've been doing our penny stupid thing, which is for those of you that don't know, we've been doing side hustles for the last year as kind of a continuation on the debt stuff just to get
absolutely
us out of our boredom of debt stuff.
Well, and also the side hustle started because one way to get out of debt is to reduce your expenses. The other way is to make more money.
Yeah.
So we thought, what are easy things that people could do to start making extra money? And so we started testing them.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing over at pennystupid.com. We got a website and podcast over there and YouTube channel. So you can go over there and check it out. But yeah, I've been driving Uber and Lyft and Walmart DoorDash. Spark, doing DoorDash. I've been trying all these different little app things. Steve's been doing Amazon FBA.
Yeah.
And that's what's been taking up most of his time because he turned a side hustle into a full-time hustle and then just like was like, where'd Steve go?
Yeah.
He's doing a side hustle like full-time. So, but you've been enjoying it, right? I mean,
I did the debt stuff for 30 plus years. And then one day I just woke up and went,
yeah, like this is kind of fun. So anyway, we have fun with the penny stupid stuff. And if you're, you know, if you're in debt and you're, you know, kind of in a rut and you're looking for ways to try to make some extra money, that's what we do. We try stuff and mm-hmm. put it out there and we're pretty damn honest about it too. If we don't make any money, I'll be like, this sucks.
In fact, right after we end this, the next podcast we're going to do is a penny stupid update.
And it'll be a penny stupid update because we haven't done one of those in a while either.
No.
Because we've been busy. Nice
Sunday. I know. All right. Well, let's peace out right now. And we'll be back with another podcast soon. If you want more information, I guess go to getoutofdebt.org or go to damonday.com and say hello.
But don't say stop sending me that. Fucking mailer.
The mailer you didn't send. I want you to stop sending the mailer you didn't send.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Peace.
Peace.